But this is a continuation of a series that we've been working on. As you know, we've been looking at each part doing its own work in this mini-series. And normally I would have Ade with me here. Today it forced me to talk about the third topic. The first one was about finding our place. The second was about responsibility to the team. And through both of those, one of the things that God revealed is just how much is already happening in King's Church. How many great examples we have of people serving in different ways, really taking on responsibility in tasks that are sometimes simple and laborious. And actually just this morning, in trying to get the projector working, you could see so many people working together to try to get to a solution. Thank God we'll be fine without the screen anyway. So this week is going to be about excellence for the glory of God. And really it should link to the other topics as well, because finding our own role is our own expression of serving God, and responsibility is part of that, having a standard for how we deliver according to God's will. And just like with the other talks, there's an invitation in this that's implied that we should all connect within the body of Christ and acknowledge that every member of our team is needed. We should all try to find our place and we'd make ourselves available to serve. So, excellence for God's glory. This topic, you know, in part it's about excellence and what does that actually mean? Why do we want to be excellent in different settings? But that aspect of doing it for God's glory was reflected in the songs, is really about our motivation. And that drives all of the other things that we do. It drives the level we do things to, it drives the amount of time that we spend on it, the amount of energy we'll commit to it. So our motivation is key. And I'm sorry for the children, I had a video planned, all set up for you. I might try and send it round to share it with churches in the homes anyway. So you'll still get to enjoy it. But perhaps as an alternative, we can each, for a moment, kind of like an icebreaker, think about what your favourite film is. This is for everybody. The difference between that and the excellence that we're striving for is that we're doing it for God's glory. And that's really important. And we're going to think about that from under three headings, really. First of all, there's excellence for God's glory through our work in the church and also in our work or whatever it is we do in our daily life, our day jobs, our personal ministry outside of church. And in both of those settings, both in Christian community and behind enemy lines, the way we conduct ourselves, how do we show excellence there and why? So, starting off with church, I was thinking about why should we be excellent and what does it mean to be excellent anyway? And usually it's doing something well, and often it means with a bit of style as well if you can. But one way I like to think about excellence is about purpose, the way we achieve purpose, the purposes that have been assigned to us, what we've been called to. So I really love design. I have done from when I was a very young boy. I believe it's something that God put into us. We're made in His image, and one of the first things He did was create. And one of the first things that He said was good is creation. And so in my work, which is about design, I did some research. One of the key ideas in that as well is, how do you measure how good something is? Something that you're designing, a new car, a healthcare system, something like that. And in the way you think in design, it's often about how something achieves its purpose. Tayo gave an example a few weeks ago that was really good. He was talking about microscopes. Saying that this is, you know, it's a feat of engineering, it's an amazing thing, and you can say it's top of the line. But it's not very good if you use it as a straw. If you drop it into your drink and try to drink through it, it's not going to work out for you. So you always need to think about how something is supposed to be used when you judge how good it is. And so, again, as I say, the first bit of excellence that God acknowledges is in creation. And just to give you a bit of a side story as well, the place where I went to university is somewhere called Christ's College. And it's a very old college, and in the first week you go there, you have a meal where you sit with all of the new students and with some of the senior tutors, the staff of the college. And in that hall you have the pictures of all the most famous alumni, the former students. And there are two which are right at the front next to each other. The senior tutor wanted to talk a lot about one of them, who's the most famous from my college, someone called Charles Darwin. And he was telling me a lot about how, you know, he influenced his subject, his topic of study. But what he didn't know much about was the picture which was next to him. It was somebody called William Paley, who was a pastor in the 18th century and was famous for making the argument in a particular way that you can know God by looking at his creation. And you can see purpose, and it can tell you about the purposeful mind that created it. And the example he used is, if you find a watch on the beach, you don't assume that it's just come from nowhere. You know that there's purpose in this, it serves something, and therefore there's intent. He's famous for saying that, but he's not the first. So if you just bear with me, I'll look at the scripture. In Romans 1:20, we read, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." And this is what he was getting across. And so that was a bit of an influence that made me think as well. Purpose in what God has created, in something out there, it gives glory to God. The church is part of God's grand design for the world. It's part of salvation. And serving in that effectively, serving our purpose, gives glory to God, even just by our obedience, just by our doing those things. This morning when we were rushing around trying to plug things in here and there, by obeying, we were giving glory to God. It's a testimony of what God is doing in each of those people's lives, that they're willing to give their best into those situations. And thank God that here at King's Church we have structures, ways that you can become part of this purposeful design. We have those serving teams. We have a calling to be a house of prayer and to make disciples. And so we can show excellence by obeying God and serving him in those ways. And just a quick quiz from last week. What is the number one fundamental purpose that we're here for? I can hear rumblings. Our highest calling is to be a child of God and to do his will. And those things come under that. And it can also include our personal calling. But we've got to remember that what we're doing in our day-to-day lives is part of that calling. It's not separate. So excellence and dedication to serving God directly here in the church is an act of worship. It's an offering. And just like creation, it bears witness to what he's doing in our lives. Many of you are testimonies to each other by your service. I know for sure people inspire one another to serve more and more. I pray it continues. So Ade and I have mentioned it in previous weeks, but we know that we're blessed in King's Church by many examples of people, and many examples of people who are serving in different ways. And I've reached out to a few who are going to come up and join me today, because I don't like being on my own up here. So first up is Dominic around. So I'm going to interview mode now. So just a few questions, and we'll have some others joining us as well. So Dom, can you share a little bit about the team that you serve on in the church?
So I serve on the communications and technology team, and then also the outreach team.
Brilliant. And how did you get involved with those?
The communications and technology team, I had a lot of people who said, you should join us. And it sort of, after a while, I was like, okay, I'll join. But the outreach team, there was an event called Hope for the Crazed some years ago, and Pastor Tim was going knocking on doors and delivering leaflets and telling people about Christ. And that kind of just inspired me, seeing that, okay, he's up there and he's doing it. So then I just sort of joined the team shortly afterwards.
So how do you like to contribute within that team?
With knocking on doors, it is, yeah, praying and then speaking to people and engaging with them. With that as well, we do visit people in hospital if they're unwell, or nursing homes, or in their houses. And then with communication and technology, it's bringing my day job and the skills that I give out there to the church.
So actually, even as we're going through these questions, you might be thinking, oh, that's something that I can get involved in some way. Keep that in mind, and you know, there will be opportunities for you to tap into these teams and to contribute. So outside of church, what is it that you do?
So outside of church, I work as a designer, but I work... but I work in motion, so animation, and then web design and graphic design. And I think it was my uncle who... I might have jumped a question.
That's fine.
It was my uncle who knew I could draw from childhood, so he said, oh, you draw, you should be, like, you know, going to design. So that's how I ended up there.
Mm-hmm. And how do you bring glory to God in that setting?
For me, it's to do my very best for God when I'm there, just to give it everything.
Brilliant. Are there any challenges that you face in doing that in particular?
The big one, I think, is... faith-wise, because in some of those settings you're really against culture, so when you go there and you are a Christian, it can be a bit hard to share your faith initially. But I think the more that I've done it and the more I've been in different jobs, it becomes a lot easier, and then people take notice and then recognize where your actions are coming from.
Brilliant. And do you have any main lessons that you've had in all of this?
I think the biggest one I've had is when Jesus said to wash other people's feet. For me, that's like the biggest one, because doing that and making other people's lives easier, I see, one, so much gratitude back towards me for it, but I also just see it as, I don't want to ramble, but I see it as of great benefit. And it's something my nan used to say, it was like, oh, if you think you're helping someone else, you're helping yourself, because God always blesses you back in the end.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dom. So that can be a challenge. Dom is serving actively in church, and I encourage you to do the same. It's good to use your skills to glorify God. That's really what they're intended for. And if you can do it directly, that's excellent. If you can do it in the workplace, that's an opportunity. So thanks, Dom, for that example. So Dom is modelling excellence for God's glory through work and outside of church and in church. And we go to my phone again for some scripture. We should always try to view our day job, or whatever it is we're doing, as part of our ministry, part of our calling. So in Colossians 3, 23 to 24. I would have said we read it together, but you're off the hook. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And so what that can give us is a kind of conviction in the work we're doing that will set us apart. It will give us joy in our work, and it will help us to be authentic as well. We want to stay focused on God regardless of what we're doing, and so does someone else who demonstrates that is Nadia, who's going to come up as well. So a round of applause for Nadia. So now this is really like TV. Nadia, can you share a bit about the teams that you serve on?
So I currently serve in the worship team as a worship leader, and that's really about helping to lead other people to encounter the greatness of God through the songs that we sing. So that's the team that I serve in right now. Apart from that though, depending on if I see a need or an opportunity to help somewhere else, then it doesn't really matter if I'm part of that team, I'll sort of offer that, and that might be as simple as, you know, we got new aprons for the church barbecue and just putting the King's Church logo just so that we've got that branding and that consistency, or maybe even making some suggestions as to like video clips that could be used as part of the theme, and suggesting it, and then if it's appropriate, Pastor Tim or Pearl will bring it in.
Brilliant. And could you maybe tell us a bit of what you do outside of church, so in work as well?
Yeah, so work-wise, I work as a freelance IT trainer and training consultant. So all that means is that when a company is rolling out a new IT system, then I go in and I kind of come up with a training approach, write the training, train the trainers, and then we deliver. So yeah, that's what I do.
And how do you give glory to God in those settings?
So I think the way that I do is in two ways. I think it's to do with like service and connection. So I see training as service. So I'm there to serve the company that I'm contracting or subcontracting through. I'm here to serve the client and the organization as a whole and those end users, the people that I'm actually training. So it's about service. And then on the other side, I think it's connection. So whichever client I'm working with, irrespective of who it is, I really always try and kind of develop some genuine connections with everybody. So from the security guards at the gate all the way through to, if I'm, you know, the cleaners, everyone basically. And it's about when I develop those connections, I've noticed how God uses those later down the line, and people will approach you and maybe ask for prayer for themselves or even for their husband. I've had that. And it also opens up. They just feel open to be able to approach you if they need something, and if they just, maybe they're searching and they're wanting to know a bit about God, it just opens those doorways.
And finally, what are the lessons that you've taken from all of this work you're doing?
So the lessons that I've taken are really that God speaks to us in different ways. So sometimes he speaks to us about where he wants us to serve really directly, and he makes it quite clear like what team it is that he wants you to serve in. Other times it might be that he also uses other people to kind of confirm what he's already telling you as to an area to serve in. And then other times it's that you know, you may have been praying and waiting and asking God, where is it that I should be serving, which is what I did when I first joined the church. And if he hasn't made something clear to you as to where to, then he's given us gifts and he's given us talents and abilities. And if we see a need and we know that the giftings that he's given us enable us to be able to be of help, then that's not the time to sit back and wait longer and see, okay, no, I'm waiting for a direct word still. It's the time to get up and speak to those leaders and say, you know, I believe I might be able to be of help and serve in this team, and you know, if there's a need right there, then they'll be open to it. So I think just knowing that God speaks in different ways, but that we all have something that we can give and ways we can serve.
Thank you very much. And just to add as well, Nadia was one of those people this morning. She sort of drove home and came back with a bundle of cables. She was there plugging things in to try and make things happen. So we saw that in action today, actually trying to, seeing that there's a need that needs to be met and stepping in. We should try to do the same. So Nadia mentioned that her work is about service, and the way she approaches it, it brings her work in line with her purpose to serve others according to God's will and living as a child of God. And I work in service as well, and I know that it can be challenging because at times work becomes work. But if, like Nadia, you can focus on the purpose for your work, the purpose God has given your work, then you'll know in your heart that you're serving him, and it will improve your work in line with that the passage Colossians, in Colossians 3. And the other thing Nadia mentioned was about connection, which brings me on to that next point, which is about excellence for God's glory through our conduct. The way we go about our work, other than just doing the job, is something that gives that bears witness to what God is doing in our lives. So Dom and Nadia have both demonstrated it, that by serving well in the workplace, by showing excellence there, we can change our relationships with others. Because by focusing on God and being filled with the Spirit, we bear fruit. So, next passage is John 15, verse 4. Jesus said, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So that means in whatever situation we're in, we always need to keep that main purpose in mind, that we're serving God, and that will set us apart. So the next interviewee is somebody who's having to do that as well, a little bit younger. This is Jemima. We'll have a round of applause for Jemima. So, could you share about the teams that you serve on?
So, I serve on the worship team, playing electric guitar and singing sometimes.
And how did you get involved?
So, when I was around 14, I really got into music and just started playing the guitar. And I kind of realised, or God revealed to me, that music is more than just a sound. In terms of worship music, it's how we can connect with God, how we can experience the Holy Spirit. So yeah, I felt a connection to that, and I asked MT Rhoda if I could start serving.
And she's playing today. Round of applause. I won't ask you to clap too much more. So can you tell us about what you do outside of church?
So I'm a student. I'm currently at university, and I'm in second year. A healthcare course.
And while on your healthcare course, how do you bring glory to God?
So before I went to uni, I kind of made the decision that I wanted to be really intentional about how I live my life at university and the things that I choose to engage in and not engage in. So I think, yeah, just making that decision beforehand helped me a lot. And telling people that I knew, like, hold me accountable to this, because this is how I want to live when I go to university. So in day-to-day life, it's just kind of choosing your friends very wisely, like know people who are going to keep you on track and like make Christian friends early on, and then like actively making time to spend with God every day. So if I have uni work, or if I know I have deadlines, and like scheduling my quiet time with God around that to make sure I don't miss out on that. And yeah, I think I'm just going to the right places like church and not going to the wrong place.
So many people will be going on to uni. Actually, it's so important to remain set apart, to remain in the vine. And Jemima is definitely bearing fruit. Thank you. We'll go from there. So a round of applause for Jemima, please. So this can be our challenge in the world, but we actually need to affect situations rather than being affected. We don't want to conform to the pattern of this world. As Jemima models, she's very much set apart, probably from her peers, because she's doing something a little bit different. And thank God, she's blessing people through that. So back to John 15. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. And of course, what kind of fruit are we talking about here? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So we can start to think about it. Whether it's serving here or serving at work, one of the things we can do to be excellent for God's glory is to demonstrate all of those things. And if you think about the situation that you go to during the week, is it always like that? Sometimes it can be tough too. But if we remain in the vine, we will bear fruit. We need to stay focused on God. So, we want to know what excellence looks like. It does mean fulfilling purpose. But we also have to ask ourselves, what does the fruit of the Spirit look like in our work, in our family life, at school, wherever it is we're going to? But I think that there is kind of a picture about excellence that's out in the world, maybe in some of the films you thought about, that it's hard to reconcile excellence with those things. If you think about some really high performing team, often you don't immediately think about people who are loving and patient with one another. Or perhaps you've been in King's Church long enough to think straight away of that. But there are certainly narratives out there which are pointing in a different direction. Those narratives will say that for high-performing individuals, there's kind of a joyless life, and we can slip into thinking these things. And if you're like me, one of the challenges can be getting so involved with what you're working on, you can forget to look up from the desk or wherever you are in the lab. In my office, I sit by the door, and so everyone asks me, "Oh, where's this person?" And I almost never know the answer. People are just walking past me. If I'm working on something, I just don't see them at all. But one of the things that I'm learning is that excellence never has to come at the cost of love. And in fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians what the most excellent way is. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1-7. "And yet I will show you the most excellent way. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Well done. Always perseveres. So, when we're talking about excellence, we are also talking about loving one another. And that means in our teams here, and I don't really have to say this to many of the people here, that we need to be patient, we need to be kind with one another, because trust that everybody is working very hard to settle things. So we can try to take that into our workplace, where sometimes loving our colleagues can be countercultural. Delighting in the truth can be countercultural as well, and it can be radical in those circumstances. I know that there are people here because of the witness that the other members of the church have been in their workplace by the way they conduct themselves. It's about having that authentic, gentle heart that was talked about in last week's sermon. So, to love one another is the most excellent way. So I wonder now if I can play that video for the children. Might be a bit out of order of things, but we'll manage.
Ecosystems within its city limits. Hunger Town, Sahara Square, Rainforest District, to name a few. You're gonna have to master all of them before you hit the street. Just quit and go home, Fuzzy Bunny.
There's never been a bunny problem.
Never.
Never.
Stupid carrot farming dumb bunny.
mayor of Zootopia, I am proud to announce that my mammal inclusion initiative has produced its first police academy graduate, valedictorian of her class, ZPD's very first rabbit officer, Judy Hawk.
There are some new recruits with us I should introduce, but I'm not going to because I don't care. Officers Higgins, Snarlow, Trunkerby, Tundra Town. And finally, our first bunny, Officer Hops. Parking duty. Dismissed.
Parking duty? Sir, sir, I'm not just some token bunny.
Well, then writing 100 tickets a day should be easy.
I'm not going to write 100 tickets. I'm going to write 200 tickets. Before noon.
So I could probably imagine a few of the adults would be flinching every time one of those tickets went down. I mean, that video is a bit of fun, but what it's really showing is that somebody's putting their all into their work. But again, whose glory is it for? It's to overcome other people's expectations. And sometimes that's not necessarily a wrong thing, but we need to be aligned with what God wants and be thinking about His glory. It's much better to serve Him than to serve ourselves, because He is a wise master and we often are not, and we don't often know what's best for us as well. So I'm just going to skip through some of these. Okay, so there's lots you can get from those testimonies, and indeed from discussing further with each other after this, maybe sharing experiences about where different people have shown real excellence, who have given glory to God in their workplace. But there was something, well, quite a few things in common with all three that you heard of. They're all boldly using their gifting to glorify God, and they're letting people know what they're about while they're doing it. So each one of them, in their own way, is making waves. And yet they're all very, very humble people. So when we talk about excellence, we think, well, actually this is now about doing things really well. And it feels like it's, oh, it could be close to conceit. But as they've modeled, as they've demonstrated, when you do things with the right purpose in mind, you can boast in the Lord, you can be bold. You can be both humble and assertive, rather than being proud and fearful. And so, from that first talk, we can think about finding our place, and we can reconcile that with a sense of responsibility to the team. But it all comes back to where our boldness comes from. It comes back to remaining in the vine. So, practically, that means we need to keep reminding ourselves about who we serve. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I think you agree that all three of them demonstrate that. And this light that we're talking about, this light that shines, it's for other people. It's in service as well. And it's not our own life. It's not our own life. It's not like a selfish, self-glorifying thing. It's actually that others may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. So this is how we need to look at excellence. And with all of this, just as this passage says, we need to be open. We need to be honest with our friends, our family and our colleagues about what it is that motivates us. Because as we grow in genuine relationship with people and as we remain in the vine, we can't help but minister to them. So when it comes to excellence for God's glory, we can, by obeying him, by serving others and really loving them, we can befriend and draw close to them and become better teammates. But most importantly, throughout all of that, we're making disciples. So with that, I'll finish there. And thank you all. Thank you very much to those who came up for the interviews. Really appreciate it.